I'd like to take a moment to thank each and every one of you that came out to worship with us this morning. I'd like to thank all of you that are with us on Facebook Live, all that are with us on the phone lines. I'd like to thank you. This morning, I guess before we get started, I do need to make a couple of announcements, because I will forget. Next Sunday after church, we're asking the church to stay behind. We have a very important meeting, a very important church meeting. So if you would, stay behind for a few minutes after church. This is the next Sunday. And also, would ask the women, don't forget your Women's Day pledge. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. This morning, we'd just like to take a moment to thank God for allowing us to be here in His presence at His church once again. Anybody happy about it? Anybody happy about it? Amen. Amen. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." This morning, we're going to sing a hymn. I think it's hymn 122. If y'all would sing with us, "Blessed Quietness." Amen.
Oh,
is going to come from the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We're going to read verses 14 through 16. After which I'm going to ask my friend Deacon Kermit Taylor to please come and bless us with a word of prayer. Amen. Ecclesiastes 7 and 14. When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider this. God has made the one as well as the other.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Therefore, no one can discover anything about their future. In this meaningless life of mine, I have seen both of these. The righteous perish in their righteousness, and the wicked living long in their wickedness. Do not be overrighteous, neither be overwise. Why destroy yourself? Amen? God's word for God's people, and it's already been blessed.
It's a long walk out there, real.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We give honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for allowing us to stand before you this morning to try to give him a little prayer. Our Lord of hope, our Lord of love, our Lord of understanding, we come before you this morning to give your name the praise that you so well deserve.
Yes.
We ask you this morning, Heavenly Father, we thank you. For all the things you've done for us.
Yes.
We could stand here all day. We never have enough tongues to thank you for all you've done. We ask you this morning, Heavenly Father, forgive us of our sins, Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm.
If there's anything in our hearts, minds that should not be there, we ask you this morning to remove it.
Yes.
Bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Bless the ones who would like to be here, who cannot be here.
Mm-hmm.
Bless you, Heavenly Father. Bless all the ones in there that are in the hospital, the rest home, ones that are in the institution.
Mm-hmm.
We ask you, Heavenly Father, go in and help them to understand that you are the one.
Yes.
If you would do these things, Heavenly Father, we'll just have to give your name praise. These and all those things we ask in thy name. Amen.
Thank you, Deacon Taylor. Thank you.
Yesterday, yesterday, yesterday.
I have a word from our very own Reverend Cook. I guess while I got your attention, we did have one more announcement. The men said we ain't gonna let the women outdo us. So we want y'all men to remember that, remember your pledges also, your men's day pledges. All right? I don't hear the horns blowing, men, but okay. I know you heard me. I know you heard me. Women, if they didn't hear you, if they didn't hear me, remind them. Amen. We'll now have the word. Grab your cup. Amen.
Speak those things that are not as though they are. You receive it if you want to. I'm going to get mine. Everybody give a hand to the praise and worship team and these musicians. They work really hard to bring y'all some uplifting music. I want to welcome everybody here today. Whether you're here before us on Facebook, on YouTube, wherever you may be, welcome. Thank you. The Lord has a word today for everybody. The saved, the unsaved, the righteous, the unrighteous, the backslider, whatever you may be. Well, whomever you may feel like you are, there's a word for you today. Before I begin, I want to acknowledge my pastor for another opportunity to come before you to speak in his absence. He's done a wonderful job giving me his knowledge, and I'm running with it, so it may be wisdom. Thank Bishop Cates. Everything that she's done. And I want to thank Minister Turner, Reverend Turner, my friend for life, for everything that he's done for me throughout the years and still standing behind me. Father, I humble myself before thee. Your word says come boldly before the throne. But I come before you humbly, sir. The Lord, I ask you to let your spirit fill me. Touch me. Let your spirit flow throughout this congregation. Yeah, yeah. personally. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus to give me the strength and the courage to speak your word, to let your word come forth that you have given me for all of us, especially for me, that, Lord, that it may bless each and every one of us, the hearers, that we shall become doers, and that it shall spring forth within our lives, and you shall receive all glory and honor. And I thank you. Amen. Today's scripture is coming from Luke chapter 6, verses 44 through 45. And if you have it, please say amen, blow your horn. There's a few of them. It's all right. I'm going to read it to you anyway. Chapter 6, verses 44 reads as, each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. For a subject today, what's on the inside? We're going to go back to the third grade for a minute. We all know what a fruit is. A fruit is a plant that bears seeds, and it's edible. We all love seedless grapes. Do you know by definition a seedless grape is not a fruit? Because it cannot bear seed. It is genetically modified and injected with hormones so that it can root and grow a plant that will not bear seeds. And in these verses, Jesus is telling us that what's on the inside will produce what's on the outside. And what's on the outside is determined by what you put on the inside.
Yes, sir.
So with today's life, we spend all our time doing other things. We have busy lives. We find time to watch TV, get on social media, play music, play games. We find all kinds of time to do everything that we desire to do. And that's what gets down in us. We need to spend time with God so that the Lord can get down in us and the Holy Spirit can be nourished. So anything is planted in your heart. People say that your mind is the central nervous system of your body, which it is. But what's in your heart is going to come out. This is where seeds are planted. And when you feel like, example, somebody gets on your nerves at work, it's not your mind that wants to cuss them out. It's your heart. They done got down deep in your soul claw that you just want to cuss them out, slap them, whatever you want to do to get them off your nerves. Right? So that means you got the wrong thing inside your heart. Whether it's good or bad, it gets down in there, and it's going to take root, and it's going to grow, no matter what it is. See, the Word tells us in Genesis that the thoughts and the intents of the heart of man are always evil from youth. God said that in the beginning, after he created man. So if God said it, you know. Already wrong. So that's where we got to get the right thing down in us. And Paul goes back to tell us in Romans that things he wants to do, he does not do. And the things that he don't do, that's what he does. But in 8, he tells us how to overcome that. My King James Version, the title of it is, "The Spirit Delivers from the Power of the Flesh." And in my NIV, it says, "Life through the Spirit." So either way you look at it, chapter 8 is telling you how he overcame chapter 7. And he said to follow him as he follows Christ. So before we can stop doing any of those things that we should not and do not want to do, we first got to hear God's word. No matter where it comes from, it could come from a friend, a spouse, a co-worker, a mother, a father. You could be riding down the road listening to 102 jams, and they might throw some Kirk Franklin in there in the mix, and you get a word in you. That's where that seed gets planted. For me, a long time ago, someone kept telling me that I needed to get saved. I needed to get saved. And I eventually told them that, why? I can get saved on my deathbed and still go to heaven. Their response was, but you don't know when and how you're going to die. And as I got to thinking about that, I would go to church with them on occasion every now and then. And none did I know that that seed that they planted in me, telling me that I needed to get saved, was God beginning to work on me. And he began to do things within me I wasn't even aware of. Then I started going to church. And as I started getting to church, I started getting word. That word was the nourishment that that seed needed. And the more I went to church, I got more word. That word was the water. So I heard the word from the person that was preaching to me. I continuously heard the word from others, from listening to TV evangelists or YouTube, wherever. They were watering that word. Mm-hmm. And as the Bible says, one plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. Mm-hmm. None was I aware that all that was going on over time. But he was working on the inside to produce something to come on the outside. When we give our lives to Christ, at that very moment, we receive the Holy Spirit. We receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Not part of him, all of him. But the thing about it is, you ain't got nothing in you for him to manifest himself. That's why you can go give your life to Christ and you go right back out and you drink, get high, smoke, do whatever you're doing. Because he's in there and you haven't began to see him. In John 6 and 63, Jesus said that spirit gives life. Gives life. So now you are a new creation. So since you are a new creation, we are to walk in newness of life. But we don't know what that newness of life is at that time. So it's not a miraculous thing that, poof, it happens immediately. But in the spirit world, it's manifested. But in the natural, it's a process. And we've got to go through that process. So the first thing we've got to do, Romans chapter 12 says you need to renew your mind. You are to renew your mind in the knowledge of the Creator. So to give that seed something to hold on into the root, you got to know who created the seed so that it can plant and root and get hold. And Colossians says to put on the new man. Walk in newness of life. So as we get this word in us, we need to start studying. We need to start reading. We need to start listening. Going to church. Communicating with others that have a word in them so that we can receive from them what God has planted in them. So no matter where we get it from, we need to get it. And it's going to get down in you. Whether you know it or not, whether you feel it or not. That's why God created preachers and teachers. Seed needs to be nourished. seed goes through a process of germination, of nurturing, of flowering and budding. And once the flower has fully budded, it actually becomes the fruit. And in that fruit are those seeds. But you'll notice, as you move along in your growth, as that seed continues to get nourished, all of a sudden, the way you talk changes. Things that you say are changed. Me, in the beginning, I didn't realize that I stopped cussing and stopped drinking. I had, 40, if y'all remember what those are, sitting in the back of my refrigerator for months, and I forgot it was even there. And then when I remembered it was there, when I moved something out of the way and saw it, I pulled it out because I no longer wanted it. Because I began to fill myself with him, which took away the desires for those things that I didn't need. So when you begin to get filled with the Spirit, in the Greek, that word in Romans 5 and 18 says, be filled. In the Greek, it means a continuous thing in the present tense, which means not like a glass of water, you fill it up, it gets to the brim, and you stop. It's continuously poured in throughout. It never gets full. It gets to the point to where you got to give it to somebody because you're so full of the Spirit that you can't contain it all, so you've got to give some to somebody else so that you can get some more, so that you can give that to somebody else. That's how it works. And then you begin to see those things that you used to do just go away totally. Yeah, except those little things that you need to be delivered from. We all have some of those. But the devil ain't going to let you go that easy. As I said in my last sermon, you do have a personal thing, whether you believe me or not. And he's going to send him after you, as well as he's going to send other demons towards you. Because he wants you not to be where God wants you to be, because he knows if you get to where God wants you to be, he's in trouble. Because that's another person out there that's trying to save other people. But when that happens, we need to remember, greater is he that is within me than he that is within this world. For he that is within me created this world. And everything in this world belongs to him. And anything that happens in this world is by his permissive will. So all you got to do is say, Jesus. Hey, you got to say that else. Just say Jesus. Keep saying Jesus over and over. And the devil must flee. He's got to go. He cannot hang around because that's a powerful word.
Yes, it is.
So when we just stand on that word, whatever it may be, we got it made. But we got to stand.
Yes,
can't wait. And you got to believe. You just can't say, Jesus. 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 He ain't doing that. He's waiting on you to call on him. You got to yell out his name. Jesus! And he's going to come running. He's going to come running, and he's going to take care of you. Just like he did with Job. He built a hedge around Job, so Job couldn't be touched. He'll do the same thing for you. Jesus said in John chapter 8 that whosoever he says for you, saved, he's already set you free. You just need to walk in that freedom and quit believing what's not true. Because everything in the Bible is true. Everything that we're hearing is not true. So quit believing that it's not true and believe that it is true, because we have everything that we need. All the blessings. We don't have to walk in sin. We can walk in all his blessings. Jesus said he set us free. Well, Galatians, Paul said, Christ set us free so we don't have to be in bondage to sin any longer. Jesus said, if you join with me, my burdens are light and my yoke is easy. He also said, I go before you and fight your battles. We ain't got nothing to worry about. He's there. That's why we need to guard our hearts. That's where that seed is. When you get that word, hold on to it. Hold it in your heart. Meditate on it. Think on it. Pray about it.
Yes.
Get in the Word and find it. Mm-hmm. The pastor stands up here and gives you a word about grace. Go home and get in the Word and start digging in the Bible about grace.
Yes.
Because the more you dig, the more you're going to see that seed. Mm-hmm. The stronger that seed is going to become, the bigger that seed is going to grow, and the more it's going to fill you with God's grace. Yes. In Proverbs 23:7, which a lot of people quote this, it says, whatsoever is in a man's heart, so is he. A lot of people take it out of context, but to understand what it actually means is, you have to go back to verse 1. The meaning, in a nutshell, of what this is talking about is, be careful of the wolf in sheep's clothing. Because he's doing good, sheep, whomever, is doing good in your sight, but also plotting while they're smiling in your face. So you have to beware. Hang on to that word.
Mm-hmm.
He'll give you discernment.
Yes.
So that you will know. That's why David said he hid his word in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And he would never sin against it.
Yes.
And we're going to go back to that seed for just a second. The seed that was planted in you. The Lord takes that seed. Once it grows to maturity and it blooms, you're so full with that seed that it's harvest time. And the Lord said he is the husbandman, which means he is the farmer. That means when it's time for the crops to come in, he's pulling up the crop. That's that seed within you. He's going to pull that crop up out of you and cause you to give it to somebody else. Because you're so full that you produce all these seeds, you're going to touch all these different lives by that one seed that he planted in you, no matter what it is. He's given us gifts. And the word says his gifts are irrevocable.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit is a gift.
Yes.
He cannot take it away. But if you do not see it, it will lie dormant.
Yes.
And will not do anything for you. So you must feed it. And as well as we're feeding the Holy Spirit, we begin to take on those characteristics of the Holy Spirit. Which is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control.
Mm-hmm.
We'll receive all those. We'll begin to walk in those. That is walking in the new life.
Yes.
Being led by the Spirit.
Yes, yes.
That's what we are supposed to be doing. That's why the Bible says we are peculiar people. No matter what we face, no matter what comes our way, we can walk in these 9 characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
And smile.
Yes.
Knowing that it's taken care of. So if God is for us, who can be against us?
Yes.
Everything we have is in us that God has given us a way to give somebody a way to plant it in us so that it can grow, nurture us, that we can in turn bless somebody else. That's the whole purpose of this life, whether we got it or not, is we're here to glorify God and to bless other people. Because ain't nothing yours. Can't take it with you. If you go, somebody else is going to get it. And then they'll have it. It's not yours. So it's all just continue to get in the Word. If you're not saved, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Yes.
Because all these blessings and all these things that he's giving us, mm-hmm. we can receive. And you can have them. The reason that a lot of people don't get saved is because they see the things that we do that we ain't supposed to be doing.
Yes.
So they say, why should I go get saved if they stand in the club beside me? If they in the ABC store buying liquor too? If they out on the corner buying weed from a drug dealer? Why do I need to get saved? So if we portray the life and walk in the way that the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us, just imagine what the harvest can be.
Yes, yes.
And don't get me wrong, I have a lot of things that I need to lay down. a lot of things that I'm still trying to hang on to.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I need to let them go.
Mm-hmm.
And once I let them go, I'll receive more this year. And I'll continuously grow.
Mm-hmm.
We can all do that. That's why Christ gave his life.
Mm-hmm.
Shed his blood on Calvary. So that we could be reconciled to the Father. Because in the beginning he created Adam, and of course Adam had dominion over all things. And you can look at this two ways. Some people look at it and say that Eve tempted Adam and Adam sinned. That's why the world turned out the way it is. Or you can look at it that God gave dominion to Adam. When Eve tried to get Adam to eat the apple, he should have said no and told her that she wasn't supposed to eat it because God said no. That's the way it should have gone. But that's why we're in the place that we are today. But Christ came back and reconciled us back to God by shedding his blood.
Yes.
And all we got to do is receive him. So is there anybody out there today that is not saved, that would like to be saved, that would like to receive the blessing that comes along with it? I'm not going to sugarcoat it and make it all sound good, because it's not, because there can be hard times and struggles.
Yes, there.
But it's all worth it, because he said he would take nothing from you, that he will not give you something better.
Yeah.
Is there anybody?
Okay.
Is there anybody that would like to receive more of the Spirit? Because today is a day of deliverance. He's going to deliver some of us from some of the things that we are bound with. But first, we got to come to him. And when we come to him and truly seek him with our heart, he's going to deliver us. And let nothing and no one stand in your way. He said, I am God. Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the one who created all things,
yeah,
the heavens and the earth, the light and life. Seek him.
Yes.
Is there anybody that would like prayer today? We all need it. Jay, I'm in here, please. We're going to pray anyway. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Gave us a word about a seed that's planted within us. Father, whether we know it or not, once the word has gone forth, whether it falls on good ground or bad ground, falls on thorns, it is our responsibility now, as Christians, to abide in it. We are held responsible. So, Father, I pray that your word fell on good ground this day. That it touches each and every one of our hearts. That it sticks within us, Lord. That it grows like a tree planted near the rivers of water. That the roots shall grow strong, Lord. That it shall grow within us, that, Father, that it will be able to overflow within us and that we will touch others. That, Father, we will learn to live our lives according to the Spirit, according to the way that you've called us to walk. And Lord, that you engage by us, through us, use us as a vessel to touch more people, to bring them into your kingdom. Lord, your word says that the harvest is great, the workers are few. There are those of us that sometimes we get afraid. We do not want to say your name or say anything to other people about you because we're afraid of what they're going to say or what they may think. Lord, that doesn't matter, because if you direct us to speak to someone, you've already put it in that person, whether they're going to receive it or not.
Yeah.
And we thank you. Father, we give you all the love, all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise.
Yeah.
But you are the great I Am, one who is, was, and always will be, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob,
yeah,
our Father. And we thank you.